Welcome to VOA's Nothing But Net with Muckbill Yabaro and Sonny Young.
Hello, Muckbill. Great to be back here in Studio 10.
Absolutely. We are ready for an exciting episode of Nothing But Net. Sonny, talk to me, man. How you feeling? How you feeling about the BAL?
I'm feeling great. I think season 3 is off to a good start. Why don't we review the results from Wednesday, Muckbill? 85-75, the defending champions Monastir defeated Kwara Falcons from Nigeria. And in the second game on Wednesday, Rwanda Energy Group defeated AS Douan from Senegal 69-55. Monastir and Reg both undefeated, Muckbill.
Oh yeah, Reg is really playing well. They're the first team to go through already with 3 wins. Monastir looks like they are on that way as well with 2 wins and no losses. But we'll get into that on the back end. As of right now, we have Sarah Chan, a former South Sudanese basketball, professional basketball player and lead scout in Africa for the National Basketball Association's Toronto Raptors. She's also the first woman to scout for an NBA team in Africa. Sarah, it's amazing to have you on with us here today.
Thank you for having me.
Sarah, the BAL season 3 has ticked off in Dakar. How do you feel the league has improved from season to season?
The Basketball African League has progressively improved over the years. The team they have settled in more. The strength of the BAL rosters exponentially shot up. Clubs are now more sophisticatedly choosing how to scout their import players, and they're more strategic with picking the imports that fill in their specific needs, as opposed to season 1, when teams were just signing the best players they could find. Then secondly, the league did a great job of hosting a combine in Paris, France, for aspiring BAL players ahead of the 2023 Basketball African League season. And this falls within the second half of the NBA season and trade deadlines. And then also you could see the strength of the league through import players such as Jerome Randall, the current U.S. Monastir point guard, who is very accomplished in many leagues and around the world, including Australia, and he was very, very successful. So such players, considering the Basketball African League as a viable option, this just goes to show the strength of the Basketball African League so far. And it's only going to get better.
No, absolutely. I like that point you brought up about the combine as well. You know, creating the hype sometimes for a league like this is really amazing. Just to go on that point, do you see a Women's Basketball Africa League being created in the next 3 to 5 years?
Oh, man, that's an exciting question. I could see that happening naturally. But I would think that, you know, the most important thing in the initial stages of any league is always you want a good stability before you start something new. But there are a ton of great initiatives around the league for women. And from a women's perspective, not just developing players per se. And this includes like the women's camp beforehand in the Sahara Conference that took place. Then secondly, the NBA's commitment to youth programs, such as Basketball Without Borders, and generally the women representation in the league, from the sidelines, media broadcasting, like the Ashadam, referees, from scouting perspective, like myself, and so forth. So I think I could see it naturally happening, but I think the most important thing about where the league is right now is stability before we start or before anything else starts.
In your opinion, Sarah, if you had to give the BAL a grade for creating excitement about the league itself, what kind of grade would you give the BAL?
I think I would give them the highest grade there is, because from season 1 all the way through this season 3, the BAL has done an excellent job creating excitement around the league from their power of storytelling and shaping narratives around the teams, from the entertainment quality around sports. If you look at the artists that they're bringing, the musical acts at halftimes, the influencers and the Bobo-them from the art community, the inspirational group of, you know, personnel that they've brought through the entertainment aspect of it. I think it has been such an incredible show so far. But, you know, we're at the beginning of the Sahara Conference, but definitely there is a build in excitement. And the fact that my colleagues in Canada and the U.S. are constantly asking what is going on the continent with Bao, and, you know, especially during this week, that in itself, I think they've created an amazing buzz and excitement around the league, but also having these games broadcasted on ESPN worldwide is a big deal. And the Bao is playing on NBA TV and so forth. I think the reach that the Bao has is incredible. And I think they've done a great job at creating the excitement around the league.
And Sarah, that reminds me, the Voice of America is kind of flexing its multilingual muscles in terms of our Basketball Africa League coverage. We're broadcasting the games on radio in five different languages, English, wow. French, Bambara, Portuguese, and Kenya, Rwanda. So nice, kind of a broad scope.
Absolutely. Yes. As you spoke on and touched on earlier, Sarah, with the BAL's gender equity initiatives and, you know, having the female referees and the scouts such as yourself, and this being Women's History Month, you've made history as right. being the first NBA female scout to Africa. How do you feel about that? And what do you feel like is the next steps maybe for the NBA as it pertains to initiatives like that?
I think, let me just point out the ones that they've already had, like Ball for Her initiative, mm-hmm. Which I think is such an incredible and inspiring atmosphere where women come together and the dialogues and just, you know, the women being celebrated is huge in itself. And then if we just talk about from reporting to head coaches, to medical staff, scouts, to team ownership, such as Cape Town Tigers, to young girls that around the league that they usually bring during games for mentorship, and all of that, and just the larger scope of NBA through the Basketball Without Borders and their girls programs. I think they're doing an incredible job with the gender equity initiatives, and I think it's only going to expand more. I am so impressed with what they're doing on the continent, and this is exactly what we need.
Sarah, kind of a two-part question for you. What's it like to work for Masai Ujiri, and can you comment on the impact he's had on basketball development in Africa?
Man, that's big brother. Masai. Oh, man, what to say, where to start? Masai is an exemplary leader, really. He's one of, I tell people all the time, one of the toughest people that there is on me since the beginning of my journey and career. But he is an amazing leader, very hands-on. He's focused on the Toronto Raptors being the best team in the NBA, and his passion for the continent supersedes him. Really. Engaging with him on a primary level, I know Africa drives him. He's an incredible father to his kids, an amazing husband and his wife, but just one of the best people you can ever work for, because he will hold you accountable, but he will also push you up to make it happen. And he's always about, you know, uplifting. It's not about us. It's about uplifting the next person. And you can see through the Giants of Africa organization with the programs that we do across the continent. But just, you know, through the Giants of Africa's Build Within initiative, he committed to building 100 courts. And as of January this year, we stand at 26 courts across our beautiful continent, from Senegal to Kenya to Nigeria to Tanzania to Rwanda, Burkina Faso, and Somalia and South Sudan, just to name a few. But Somalia and South Sudan are so near and dear to my heart because, well, South Sudan is home, but Somalia is similar to home, right? And some of these places people might shy away from going into because there's always the safety factor. But Masai wants to go to every corner of the continent to create access to play, and he is very vocal on the subject of gender equity. Building a court in Samburu Girls, building a court in Mogadishu at the Elman Peace Foundation, to visiting refugee camps from Dadaab to Kakuma, you know, to have a front row seat to these places, and to see his heart for the continent, to see his service to humankind, and also just watch him with the Raptors is incredible. But he's first and foremost a good human being, and he's an exemplary leader.
No, absolutely.
It is an honor to work with such a person.
No, I hear you. I feel like you could talk about Masai for forever, literally.
Forever.
Like he's,
yeah,
you know,
I think so.
He's definitely one of those leaders. No, that's amazing. And going back to your point, yeah, I feel like for me as a Somali American as well, you know, Somalia is near and dear to my heart. You know, Elwad Elman is a good friend of mine as well. So I saw that initiative that Giants of Africa did with Elman Peace as well. It's amazing to see. Just to segue on that, how has the scouting game changed in your mind, you know, ever since you became the managing scout for the Toronto Raptors in Africa?
I'll go back to Masai and his vision for the continent. Mm-hmm. And with the Raptors, we already had scouts on the continent from Senegal to Cameroon to South Sudan and Nigeria way beforehand. I'd say a couple of years back. And so when I started working and working closely with Patrick Engelbert, the director of global scouting for the Toronto Raptors, at that time, it was only one or two other scouts on the continent. And to see how far it has come now, when you go to Basketball Without Borders, and it's about about 20 teams from the league represented there, and then you come to the first season and it's 20 to almost 30 of the teams that have scouts on the ground. It goes to show you just, you know, what this league represents, but also that the scouting game has changed and there is a movement, which, you know, NBA teams are starting to see being on the ground and having a boot on the ground is a competitive advantage to their teams.
I'm VOA Sonny Young. I'm joined by Mukbil Yabaro. You're listening to a special Voice of America podcast on the Basketball Africa League. We're chatting with Sarah Chan, lead scout in Africa for the NBA's Toronto Raptors. Sarah, under the current BAL rules, each team is allowed four foreign-born players, including two from outside, two from Africa, but they can't be from the country where that team is based. Some have said that maybe the BAL should go maybe all African in approach rather than bringing in foreign players. Make it an African league to really develop these young African players. What are your thoughts?
I think that's a great question. When starting a league, the default is let's get international players because everybody wants to win. People get great imports that adds to the competitive edge. At the end of the day, it's a business, and it is part of the life cycle of the league. However, as the league matures, you start to have younger and younger talents that are coming across. And if you look at the incredible, and I think it's a game changer, the Elevate program that the NBA added to this league which consists of our African young talent. Mm-hmm. This is such an exciting element from a scouting perspective. And this is the thing that draws the NBA to the league, the Elevate prospects. So seeing teenagers play against men and performing, and clearly they are players from this league that have passed through the BAL, and they're currently playing, they're currently players that are playing, that you will hear their names called in the NBA drafts in the next few years.
Right.
And you can't say that about many leagues around the world. So yeah, initially the league starts out with getting international players, and you know, business perspective, everybody wants to win. But as it matures, there's younger and younger players that are coming in, and the NBA Academy is doing a great job with this young prospects, and this adds to the value of our league. But then, like I said, mark my words, there's players that have come through this league, and there are players that are currently playing that in the near future, you'll hear their names be called in the NBA drafts. And this is something you can't say about many leagues across the world.
Yeah, no, I think our sentiments are the exact same. We've seen exemplary players already just in this Sahara Conference. And we hope to see how the Nile Conference shapes out as well for these young NBA Elevate players. But it's been a pleasure to talk to you, Sarah. And we definitely will have you on again. It's been a pleasure.
The pleasure is all mine. Thank you for having me, and thank you for the platform to share.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Sarah. I'm VOA Sonny Young. I'm joined by Mukbil Yabarow. You're listening to a special Voice of America podcast on the third season of the Basketball Africa League. And Mukbil, I know we've seen not even a handful of games so far from each team, just a few games. What are some of your initial thoughts about the basketball we've been witnessing in Dakar?
Honestly, I feel like for me, Sonny, it's been year after year, it's been growth. You know, as Sarah just said, we continually keep seeing, you know, these NBA Elevate players, these kids that are coming in from the NBA Africa, the BAL seasons prior, or just some brand new talent that we haven't seen before, like those studs playing in the Malian side, right? Staten Malian. Two young stars, you know, rising stars, in my opinion, you know, leading. I think they're both top three in points at the moment. We have Solomon Berthe, leading scorer of the league at the moment, and Aliou Diarra as well, who is tied for second, in essence, really. Yeah, they're doing amazing things.
We covered the game between Stade Malien and Kwara Falcons, and Diarra was sensational. I think he tallied 23 points, 14 rebounds, Five blocks. Even had a couple steals before he fouled out. But I do remember you made an excellent point, Mukbil, that after he had to sit for the remainder of the game after fouling out, that's when the Falcons really started to chip away at that lead. Because they were down by 20 points at one point.
They were. You know, the thing about the Kwara Falcons is, honestly speaking, they have played extremely well and have been in it every single game. Unfortunately, the same energy that they bring to the first half has not translated to the third quarter. And in some of the games, it's been out of reach for the fourth quarter. But I feel like, you know, every single team in this league already that we've seen has competed every single
game.
They have. You know, just because it says that you haven't been able to get a win yet doesn't mean that they have not been able to play. And they have some talented players, you know, NBA Elevate players like Thiem, young kid who's shown, you know, amazing skill, you know, left hand. He's a lefty. You know, I love lefties. You know, so he's shown us a little bit of everything, but yeah, I think it's been super exciting. And don't think just because some of these teams that haven't got their first victories yet will not be able to win their next two games. You still got some games left. As long as you still have games to play, you're still in it.
Yeah, I agree with you, Muckbill. I think most of the games have been quite competitive. I'm just looking at the score lines. There really haven't been any blowouts, per se. The Falcons were down by 20, but they did come back and made it a very close game. They ended up losing to Stade Malien 78-74. And, yeah, getting back to Diarra, I guess he is one of the leading scorers so far in the Basketball Africa League.
Yeah, Diarra is averaging 18.5 points a game. He is tied with Abidjan Basketball Club's Haruna. You know, I like to say that's Liz, Coach Liz's go-to guy, you know. And he's putting up numbers. But the top of the league right now is Solomon Berthe with 27 points per game. Averaging, it's unbelievable, you know, that these two young talents on the Stade Malien side are local talents, have yet to explore the overseas options.
Interesting. You know?
So we'll see what they do after this league is done.
I would guess we were talking with Sarah Chan. She's a scout. Yeah. I would guess there are other scouts at the Dakar Arena that have their eyes on those two young men.
And we forgot to mention, too, both players, Berthe, 22 years old, Diarra, 21 years old. Young players.
Berthe, what are some of the qualities you like about him, Muckbill?
Honestly speaking, he's your ideal guard, right? Really tall. He seems like he's about 6'6", long wingspan, very athletic, has a good handle. You know, he can shoot the three ball. He scored one of the, I think, if I'm not mistaken, he scored two threes, I think, even though the rest of the Stade Malien team wasn't really shooting well from three. And he can get to the paint, and he has vision.
Yeah.
Right? You know, so his assist game might not show, but, you know, he got a bunch of hockey passes, as we like to call it. Get the ball rolling.
Very fluid player out there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Taking a look at the statistics again on the scoring charts, a big player, big man for Monastir. They're the reigning BAL champions. Ibrahima Thomas, he's from Senegal. 7 feet tall. Right now he's averaging 16.5 points per game. Muckbill, I kind of see him taking the role that Majak had last year for Monastir. Big man in the paint, but he might have a little more offensive game than Majak.
There we go. You took the words right out of my mouth. Majak, you know, was a presence to be felt on the defensive end, blocks, you know, getting those defensive rebounds, even offensive rebounds, giving his team second shot opportunities, but wasn't really necessarily an offensive threat. This is where Thomas changes things. He's out here scoring. He has, you know, a couple of moves in the paint where he really could get it done. Because you can't average 16 points in this league if you're not able to get your own shots off. So he's doing well. But it's amazing to see these players with their height and length, you know, athleticism, really showcasing the talent in Africa, man.
And regarding Majak, I guess we will see him next month in Cairo for Petro.
Yes, Petro has decided to bring the big man Majak, you know, over on that side. That team has always been a team that has had that chemistry and team unity. They've been able to play well together. A lot of the players are older veteran players that have played in the league or in leagues and on the national team together for years, right? So that's the thing about the Petro side. They've always been able to have that continuity that some of these other teams might not be able to have. But it'll be interesting to see when you put Majok in there, because he's energy right off the bat.
And let me give a quick shout out for Bruno Fernando. He is the first Angolan player to make it to the NBA. He actually visited our VOA studios recently, and I asked him about Petro Muckbill, and he thinks they can lift the trophy this year. So, but, you know, he might have some hometown interest in that team.
You know, they've been close every year. So it'd be interesting to see, you know, if someone other than North Africa can lift it up. You know, it's been up there for some time now. So we'll see if U.S. Monastir can go back-to-back, you know, or if Al Ahly, the other Egyptian team, can bring it back to Egypt as well. We know those teams have always been consistently really solid teams. But, you know, it's anyone's game now. This conference has shown us that teams that you might not expect – who was expecting to REG Reg to be able to go 3-0 off top? I don't know. But they're showing us that they have a lot of class, a lot of skill, and it's anyone's game.
Taking a look at the stats again, we mentioned Diarra. He's leading in rebounding also, Muckbill, right now at 14.5 rebounds per game. At number two on the rebound chart is Malawak from Duane. He's the teenager, Muckbill, from I believe he's from South Sudan. And I did read a quote from him. He didn't feel like his teammates were feeding him the ball enough after the loss they had to Rwanda Energy Group. He wants his touches, Muckbill.
Honestly, I like that kind of energy. You know, when you have a younger player, you know, that young, and he knows what he brings to the table, he's telling the team, listen, I'm going to put the team on my back. Let's go get this win, you know? So I honestly love it, because sometimes you have these younger players, maybe, I wouldn't say shying away from the moment and speaking to their veteran teammates and not letting them know, hey, I need the touches. I'm getting it done. I got the hot hand. Let me get to work. So, yeah, I'm interested to see how it goes for the next game.
Guard play in this third season of the Basketball Africa League. You think they're handling the ball better, right, Muckbill?
Absolutely. When you look at the handles, you know, as it has moved on from season to season, season one, you could literally name, I think, one or two players where the handle was really there. Season three, it's like, not only do the guards have the handle, it's the bigs, you know, and that kind of shows you how the NBA and the game in general has moved, right? You have these 6'8", 6'9", 7-footers that have a handle. That's the only way you're going to be able to play on that next level now. It's no longer a league where a big just gets the ball in the post, puts their hand up, and just turns. There's no skyhooks now. step backs only. But yeah, it's been amazing to see the guard play. Assist, if we're talking about assist tallies, U.S. Monastir, Randall definitely is leading the pack with 8 assists per game. That's an insane number. You know, that means that he had a game where I think he put up like 14 or something like that, 13, 14 assists. But just going into double digits on the assists means that, man, the fluidity of the team is there. You have a go-to guy who really is sending the dimes out, right?
Well, time is not our ally right now, Muckbill, but maybe some quick final thoughts on our guest, Sarah Chan. Very articulate woman.
Yeah, no, Sarah definitely... was an amazing guest to have. This will not be the last time we'll have her on, but to get her perspective, to see, you know, how truly invested she is on basketball in the continent and as it pertains to young women on the continent playing the basketball game, it's only going to get better.
Only going to get better. You're listening to the end of Nothing But Net with Muckbill and Sonny, episode 2, and we do have episode 3 coming up next week.
On the way. It will be super exciting. And you know how it is. We'll be back next week.